Chapter 31. Seventh cycle. 193 units. Covenant battle calendar. Aboard cruiser Incorruptible. In orbit above planet Onyx. System Zeta Doradus. Human designation. Fleet Master Voro stepped up to the command console on the bridge of the Incorruptible. His crew snapped to attention at his presence. All was perfect. He controlled a fleet of the finest ships on what might be the most important mission for his people. And this would be his crowning moment. Contact with the forerunner guardians of this world.
Shipmaster Kunu, he said over ship-to-ship comm. Report!
On the central holographic display, Kunu's destroyer, the Far Sight Lost, continued to accelerate from the safety of the fleet's defensive sphere formation. It plunged into a high orbit over the world the humans had called Onyx. This word had no meaning for their translation oracle.
Fleet Master, Kunu replied, moving into the proscribed vector of supplication.
A thousand tiny craft crested over the planet's northern magnetic pole and moved toward the Far Sight Lost on attack vectors.
Honor light your way,
Voro told Kunu. Kunu finished the time-old Sangeli maxim.
Our blood will forge a thousand generations.
Voro had considered initiating contact himself, but decided the honor should go to Kunu, whose knowledge of the ancient ritual responses from the Fire and Repentance codices of the First Age was unmatched. On Igar's sensor station, a schematic of one of the Forerunner vessels appeared, three unconnected cylinders and a sphere.
Power signatures detected, sir,
Igar reported, his one good eye staring at the patterns.
Energy shields and defensive system waveforms present,
Voro considered this. The power outputs from these tiny ships were insufficient to penetrate their shields, but there were so many.
Spin up the four energy projector,
Voro ordered. Uruo hesitated a heartbeat, and then moved his hands over the controls.
Four energy projector charging, sir.
The shimmering of power readings of the Forerunner vessels reflected Voro's gaze. During their slipspace journey, Voro had made clear to his shipmasters that they had to be willing to set aside their beliefs. Others had been blinded by the glory of Ring of the Gods and subsequently destroyed by the human and the flood infestations. They must be prepared for anything.
Alert the fleet to make weapons ready,
Voro ordered Igar.
Aye, sir.
Voro wanted to believe the Forerunners had left this world to deliver them in their hour of greatest need. His instincts, however, told him not to trust anything but Sangeli blood.
Far Sight Lost broadcasting on an open channel,
Igar said, and put it on bridge audio.
Let us cast arms aside.
Shipmaster Kunu began the ritual greeting.
And like discard our wrath. Thou in faith will keep us safe, whilst we find the path.
The thousands of the tiny craft drifted in the central holographic display like a cloud of dust. They formed octahedral geometries, solidifying into crystals of gold and ruby in the dark of space, surrounding the Far Sight Lost.
Incoming transmission,
Igar said. Both his eyes, sighted and blind, were wide with wonder.
On the Prophet's channel, sir.
A flat voice, intoning perfectly the ancient dialect, rumbled over the bridge. Rescue phase concluded. Threat analysis phase concluded. Reclaimant request for shield world access denied. Initiating outer defense program.
Energy spikes detected,
Igar said.
Frequency shifting to resonate suites,
he looked up.
They're combining fire, sir.
Fleet-wide channel,
Voro shouted.
All shipmasters make ready to fire. Link targeting control through the Incorruptible.
Uruo motioned his console as the ships in their fleet linked into a single spiderweb network of firepower.
Fleet fire control is now yours, sir,
he told Voro.
Target laser and energy projectors on these cluster formations,
Voro said. Uruo smoothed his hands over the network, double-checking the numbers, and then said,
Target solutions calculated, sir. On your order.
1,000 tiny eyes blazed within the alien formations. Energy beams collimated into lances of golden light that painted the hull of the Farsight Lost. The ship did not have its shields up. Beams sliced through armor and decks, piercing through and through, blasting cones of vaporized alloy into space. Voro quenched his rage and studied the carnage. Some advantage had to be gleaned from this tragedy. Individually, the tiny craft could do no harm. Together, however, they were more than a match for the Farsight Lost. Their octahedral structures shimmered with energy shields. Voro assumed their defensive strength multiplied when combined as well.
Release weapons, interlink safety locks,
Voro ordered and raised his hand. He prayed for the soul of Shipmaster Kunu, who had revealed for them a new enemy.
Penetrated by 12 beams, the ventral decks of the Farsight Lost exploded. The ship rolled over like a great beast in its death throes. The weapons cut through the aft section. The plasma core breached, and 3 plumes of blue fire erupted from the hull, heating the aft quarter of the vessel red, yellow, and then white hot before the vessel detonated. The crystalline geometry of the alien formations rippled and their shields flared.
Now,
Voro commanded.
All laser and projectors fire!
All ships under his command launched a barrage, and the deep night of space lit with crisscrossing lines of illumination. Hundreds of lasers painted the weakened alien shields and made them sputter with static. 10 microseconds later, energy projector capacitors discharged, and blasts of holy white radiation impacted the formations, overloaded the distressed shields, and scattered their coherence. Stripped of their protection, the tiny drone ships erupted into streams of superheated particles. Their central eyes blazed white-hot as if their fury alone could protect them. Explosions chained through the octahedral assembly. Lasers and projectors shut down, and the space plunged again into darkness. Voro blinked. Within the holographic display, the thousands of alien ships were scattered, most now cooling blobs of metal, tumbling disconnected rods and spheres. Those that had survived moved sluggishly as they attempted to realign for another attack.
83% of the vessels destroyed,
Igar said. Over fleet-wide comm, Voro said,
All ships break and attack. Annihilate the survivors with plasma charges before they regroup.
The fleet accelerated to attack speed, burning all before them. The smaller alien craft were defenseless before this onslaught. Shipmaster Kunu had been a hero. He had demonstrated for them all that the old ways of devout placation had no place in this new age. The Sangheili would forge their own way, with their own blood if need be.
Contact the Absolution, Voro told Igar. Have them make ready for a slipspace transition in atmosphere. They will scout the northern polar region where these drones came from and determine if there are high-value targets our sensors have overlooked.
Absolution hailed, sir, Igar replied.
Orders relayed.
He paused, listening, then said,
The Absolution is yours to command, Fleet Master.
Voro nodded, indicating they go. The space surrounding the sleek destroyer shimmered as their slipspace capacitors discharged.
Something on the planet's surface, sir,
Igar said, and he bent closer, concentrating.
Energy anomaly in the northern polar region.
He waved his hand over his controls, and the central viewer split, half-filling with a view of the planet's ice caps, zooming closer to reveal a wind-whipped landscape of snow dunes. 1 kilometer off the ground, the air shimmered in the exact same pattern as the Absolution's slipspace transition matrix.
That should not be happening,
Uruo remarked, and took a step closer to the image, intrigued.
A slipspace matrix only appears upon a ship's exit. The Absolution has yet to transition. Hail the Absolution, Voro said. Abort the jump.
Igar shook his head.
Slipspace Matrix interfering with our signal, sir.
Move to intercept, Voro ordered.
The Incorruptible tilted and accelerated toward the destroyer as it edged toward its slipspace field. The view in the holographic display shifted. Above the North Pole, three new octahedral formations of alien ships materialized in the glow of the slipstream exit field.
They can jump, Voro whispered.
That made no sense. If they had such a capacity, then why hadn't they jumped into combat with the far side lost? Or for that matter, jumped to avoid destruction from the rest of the battle group? Voro turned to Igar, who understood slipstream space better than any of his officers.
Explain, he demanded.
Igar straightened.
Sir, a slipspace transition requires more power than ships that size can generate.
I can only guess that they are somehow tapping into the Absolution's slipspace field.
Energy spikes,
Urua said.
Northern polar region.
The alien ships fired. Hundreds of beams bounced within their linked geometry, combining and focused through their energy shields, directed into the center of the wrapping slipspace. The Absolution vanished from high orbit, reappeared in the center of the alien's field of fire. The hull of the destroyer superheated to white, flash vaporized, flowering into a ball of ultraviolet fire. The alien vessels comprising the octahedral formations deformed from the overpressure wave. Then they flew away on random trajectories from the cloud of smoke, which was all that remained of the Absolution. Voro watched, stunned, and then he regained his wits.
Scan the surface of the planet, Voro told Igar, and recheck the sensor log for anomalies just before those ships appeared.
He opened the fleet-wide channel.
No vessels to initiate a slipspace transition without my explicit order.
His shipmasters sent their acknowledgments, and 21 personal insignia lit his console.
Energy signature detected,
Igar said.
In our logs, before the enemy ships appeared, scanners detected a burst of extremely low-frequency energy. A transmission from this location.
On the central viewer, a ring of mountains snapped into focus. There was motion along the rim. Voro zoomed in and saw one rod and spear drone dart back into the shadows. Transmission? Coordinating orders, perhaps? Or a central location where these drones had something worth protecting?
That is our target, he said.
Voro activated Fleetcom.
All ships to overarch attack pattern and prepare for orbital descent. Charge lateral lines to full capacity.
The Incorruptible took position on the starboard wing of the coalescing wing formation and led the battle group into the planet's atmosphere. Beneath them, air heated and rolled off their hulls in waves of convective fire. Voro watched as the clouds in the upper atmosphere parted before their combined bow wake, and lamented over the holes in their formation. Two ships lost. The fault was his. How could any continue to follow his orders after such errors? Yet, Voro felt their confidence. Perhaps that was delusion, but they had followed him unquestioningly into battle. They knew that what happened here could determine the fate of all Sangeli. They had to succeed, even if it cost their lives. They swooped over the surface of the planet, over twilight-shrouded jungles, undulating plains of grass, and shadow-filled canyons. Flocks of birds and herd animals scattered before their ominous presence. No more alien craft rose to challenge them. Where were the hundreds they'd seen at the Northern Pole? In reserve? Lurking in ambush?
Come to dead slow,
Voro commanded over Fleetcom.
Maintain battle conditions.
As the fleet crossed the crater summit, a collection of drones appeared on the inner rim, spewing earth and stone into the air. Three of his destroyers opened fire and left nothing but a surface of crackling glass. As the greater body of the fleet crossed into the crater, the light from their heated lateral lines illuminated the dark interior, revealing giant arches and pillars, steps that circled faceted silver domes. It was a city of magnificent proportions. The shapes were instinctively recognized by Voro from holy scriptures. Every line and curve, every symbol, had been burned into his soul. This was a forerunner city. Intact, sacred, untouched. It was what every member of the Covenant had dreamed of finding, if not in this life, then the next. Would it be so easy to claim their prize? The technological and theological treasures were close enough to touch. Voro's joints weakened, and he wanted to drop and bow before the glory of it all. He stopped, ashamed. Such religious stupor would only blind him to the dangers. Voro must not bow to the forerunner ghosts. He must be the sole authority here. He turned to the Lek Goloper, who ever remained at his back on the bridge. "Prepare for battle," he told them. Although the Lek Golo could not smile, Voro sensed their faces flex in pleasure. A dozen eels squirmed and coiled over one another. They growled their assent, rose, saluted, and thundered off the bridge. Voro ran his hand over the command console. Shipmaster Tano's blood still stained the edges, tinging the holographic emitter's blue. He lamented that his old mentor had not survived to witness this moment.
"Alien vessels accelerating from the surface," Uruo announced. 2 dozen. Pair formation. On attack vectors."
"Destroy the craft," Voro said over Fleetcom. "And only the craft. Use lasers. Pinpoint targeting."
Tiny explosions lit the night as the drones were obliterated. He activated the shipcom.
"Baruto, Waruna, during the ground assault, take pains to minimize collateral damage."
There was a double growl response, and then Baruto asked,
"What target, Fleet Master?"
Voro surveyed the vast city. A complete search would take weeks.
"Pulse the greeting of ancients for a signal response," he told Igar.
"Aye, Fleet Master."
He broadcast the Covenant's universal handshake sequence and waited then for a response. It was only a dream that any forerunner were left to answer the call.
"Something."
Igar leaned closer to examine the wavering reply signal. Voro moved to his station.
"It's one of ours,"
Voro declared.
"Send it to the ship's oracle for pattern match."
"Yes, sir,"
Igar replied.
"Ship ID, DX class."
"A dropship? Identify the parent ship registry."
Igar summoned the reference, and his jaws dropped open in shock.
"Bloodied spirit,"
he whispered. Voro narrowed his eyes at the wavering response signals. This came from the ship stolen by the human demons. They had beaten them here?
Survived the Forerunner's defenses and infiltrated holy grounds?
Anger boiled within him and clouded his mind, but he collected his rage. Saved it.
"Triangulate the signal,"
he ordered.
"Yes, sir. There."
The image shifted in the central viewer. A silver dome wavered into semi-solidity. The apex of the structure faceted into 7 planes, and on each, an arch opened to the interior. Arches large enough for dropships to pass through. Voro returned to his command console.
"Baruto, Waruna, we have a target. Muster the reserves from every ship in the fleet."
Baruto and Waruna replied simultaneously with a subsonic rumble of acknowledgement.
"You will, however, wait,"
Voro told him. There was silence over the comm. "Wait" was a word one dared not speak to a Lek Golo pair on the verge of battle.
"You shall wait for me to join you," Voro said, "for I shall lead this assault."